Genesis 20. Now Abram moved on from there into the region of Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. For a while he stayed in Gerar, and there Abraham said of his wife Sarah, "She is my sister." Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, "You are as good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman." Now Abimelech had not gone near her, so he said, "Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, 'She is my sister'? And didn't she also say, 'He is my brother'? I have done this with a clear conscience and clean hands." Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience, and so I have kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not return her, you may be sure of that you will also, that you all who belong to you will die." Early the next morning, Abimelech summoned all his officials, and when he told them all that had happened, they were very much afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham in and said, "What have you done to us? How have I wronged you that you have brought such great guilt upon me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should never be done." And Abimelech asked Abraham, "What was the reason for doing this?" Abraham replied, "I said to myself, 'There is surely no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not of my mother, and she became my wife. And when God caused me to wander from my father's household, I said to her, 'This is how you can show your love to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother.'" Then Abimelech bought sheep and cattle and male and female slaves and gave them to Abraham, and he returned Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, "My land is before you. Live wherever you like." To Sarah he said, "I am giving you your brother. I'm giving your brother 1,000 shekels of silver. This is to cover the offense against you before all who are with you. You are completely vindicated." Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female slaves, so they could have children again. For the Lord had kept all the women in Abimelech's household from conceiving because of Abraham's wife, Sarah. This is the word of the Lord.
Boys and girls and grown-ups, one of the things we've learnt about over the last few weeks as we've been in all-age services and other services, looking at the life of Abraham, is that it is possible to be friends with God. That is amazing, isn't it? People like us and like Abraham can be friends with the God who made us, who made the whole universe. And that is stunning. But there's a problem. I wonder if this has occurred to us. The thing about friendship is that actually it's very fragile. So I've got here a bit of pottery. I don't know if it's... I haven't actually checked whether it was made in Staffordshire. That'd be bad if it wasn't, wouldn't it? I've got a bit of pottery here. Isn't this beautiful? It's very dainty. I can imagine the Queen drinking tea out of it. It's lovely. The thing about a mug like this is that it's very fragile. It doesn't take much to break it, does it? A little knock would do the trick, so we'd just test that out. I brought my wrecking bar along specially. There we go. See, friendship is like that cup. It is so easy to break it. I don't know if you've had that experience. Maybe you've been friends with someone and they've moved to the other end of the country and you've just lost touch. Or worse, they said something, or you said something, or they did something, or you did something, and it hasn't been possible to put that friendship back together afterwards. Actually, the thing that really destroys friendships, the thing that really destroys marriages as well, is when the same thing happens again and again and again and again, and people keep making the same mistakes. And someone's patience just runs out. And so my question this morning is friendship with God like that? Is friendship with God fragile, this covenant friendship that God has with Abraham, this covenant friendship that we have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, is it breakable? Is it easy to break like that? And that really matters. Boys and girls, you may not have asked this question yourselves, yet some of you may have done, but I think as you get older, it's a question every Christian asks, is have I broken my friendship with God beyond repair? Have I gone too far this time? So maybe you've done something really stupid, and that's a fist. That's a pretty good fist, isn't it? Nikki is my outstanding graphic designer for this. I think that looks like a fist. You boys and girls, maybe you've punched your brother or sister, and you're sitting on the naughty step, and mum or dad comes and goes, "I cannot believe you've done this again," and you're thinking to yourself, "I can't believe I've done this again." Or maybe for others of us, it's to do with our words. We've said a bad word, or we said something that wasn't true, or we've gossiped about someone, and someone says to us, "You know, I thought you were a Christian. I didn't think Christians were supposed to behave like that." And we think to ourselves, "I've done it again. I've done it again." Or for others of us, maybe we've gone online and we've looked at something online on our phone or on the laptop that we shouldn't have done. We just shouldn't have done it, and we know we shouldn't have done it. And we've got our heads in our hands going, "I can't believe I've done it again. I've blown it. I've broken this beautiful friendship." Like that vase that God's, that mug is beautiful. It's so fragile. I've wrecked my relationship with God. How can God ever forgive someone like me now? And I think we tend to respond to that in one of two ways. We either have our head in our hands and we think, I've got to give up. I'm going to give up following Jesus because it's too hard. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. Or else we turn around and we say to ourselves, okay, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to try harder. God, I'm not going to do this again. I'm never going to do this again. Never. I don't know, have you been there? I have. Did it work for you, saying, "I'm going to try harder and never do it again"? Doesn't work for me. Well, is there any hope? Is there any way we can change? Is there any way we can still be friends with this God whose friendship is so precious, and yet we are so quick to make the same mistakes again and again? Are we going to break it beyond repair? We're going to have a look at a story in the Bible, a true account of Abraham's life that I think speaks deeply into those kind of situations. We're going to think now about this story from Genesis, where Abraham had a promise from God. He had a promise from God that he would protect him and look after him, and he didn't trust it. So if we want to know what it looks like when an earthworm tries to do press-ups, listen in. Now, I think we need to meet Abraham and Sarah. So could Abraham and Sarah come up for us, please? Thank you very much. Abraham and Sarah, do come on up to the front. Thank you. So would you like to stand here for us, and we can introduce you properly? Couple of things. Sorry, I'll get this out of the way. Couple of things we need to know about Abraham and Sarah. One is that they are much older than they look. You wouldn't guess this, all right? Abraham is 99 years old. And as you can guess, Sarah is quite a lot younger. She's only 90. But so there's a couple of other things that we need to know. One is they don't have kids. That's very important. Another is that Sarah, this is obvious, I don't really need to say this, but Sarah is famously beautiful. She's absolutely stunning, isn't she? So can we have an ooh la la? Boys and girls? Ooh la la. She's lovely, isn't she? Okay, so Abraham and Sarah, they are they're elderly, but she is still beautiful. And listen to what they've done. They're moving house. Abraham moved on from there into the region of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. And for a while he stayed in Gerar. And there Abraham said of Sarah, "She is my sister." Now that is strange, isn't it? They're married. Why would he say she's my sister? Well, we find out later in the passage. When Abraham tells us that he'd said to himself, "There's surely no fear of God in this place, and they'll kill me because of my wife." That makes sense. If this is a very bad place, then people might want to marry Sarah, and the easiest way to do that would be just to kill off Abraham. Right, well, that makes sense then. He also says, "Besides, she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not of my mother, she became my wife." So she's his half-sister. This is a kind of, it's a half-truth, which is a polite way of saying it's a total lie. And when God caused me to wander from my father's household, I said to her, "This is how you can show your love to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he's my brother." Well, that's quite a good plan, isn't it? Except there's a problem. And the problem is called Abimelech. Abimelech, would you like to come on up? Now, Abimelech, thank you very much. What do we need here? We need a few things for Abimelech. Brilliant. Abimelech, do you want to come and stand over here? If Abraham and Sarah want to stand over here, that might work nicely. Move these out of the way. Now, Abimelech, we need to know about Abimelech. He's very tall and regal, isn't he? So he's a king. Abimelech is a king. And so boys, if you'd like to kind of curtsy or bow to Abimelech, that sounds good. He probably needs some royal robes as well. There we go. That's very dashing. Some royal robes. And he's got a sword, and he's not afraid to use it, right? He's quite heroic, isn't he? He's quite a dashing young man. And Abraham, I hate to warn you of this. I think he just winked at Sarah. In fact, oh dear. He's sending her flowers now. So, actually, it gets worse. Verse 2. Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. This is not good, is it? This is not good. Abraham is now on his own, and Sarah is with Abimelech. It just feels wrong, doesn't it? Just looking at that feels wrong, doesn't it? He's married to the wrong person. But it gets worse. There are two reasons why this is even worse than it looks, and it looks pretty bad, doesn't it? One is that Abraham has form here. He's done it before. We might have, as Yogi Berra put it, this is deja vu all over again. In chapter 13, Abraham did this before. It seems that this is a kind of policy he had, and the same thing happened with Pharaoh. This isn't a kind of something that Abraham couldn't have foreseen happening. The other thing that makes it even worse is that Abraham and Sarah are not an ordinary couple. I mean, you see, they're pretty special, aren't they? God has given them a special promise that within a year, Sarah is about to have a baby. And this baby is a very, very special, precious baby. Through this baby, blessing is going to come to the whole world. And through this child's, grandchild's, great-grandchild's, great-great-great-great-great-great-great number of greats, great-great-grandson, is going to come blessing to the whole world. This child is going to be the ancestor of the Christ, the King. And if Sarah is with someone else, living as his wife, they can't have this baby. Now that might not sound like it's got much to do with us, but boys and girls and grown-ups, I tell you, it really does. Because if this baby is not going to be born, Christmas is cancelled. Jesus is not going to be born. In fact, it gets worse than that. Easter is cancelled too. No hot cross buns, no chocolates, no heaven. Heaven is cancelled because there is now no way for us to be friends with God if this child is not born who will die to take the sins of the world to make it possible for us to be friends with God again. There is no hope for any of us. Well, we're going to hit pause on that story there. Abraham and Sarah and Abimelech, would you like to take a seat in the front row? And you can kind of, it might be a bit awkward between you, but just sit there for a moment, if that's all right. Thank you so much. What we're going to do now is take a moment to say sorry to God. Because we might think, I've never done anything quite like Abraham, and we probably have never been in quite the same situation. But do you know what? We're actually not that different to Abraham. See, he had a promise from God that he would care for him, protect him. We've got all kinds of precious promises from God. And so what happens when we are what happens when we're under pressure and we try to fight our way out? Or we're under pressure and we say something stupid. Or we're under pressure and we run to the internet or whatever else our favourite source of comfort is to make ourselves feel a little bit better. Aren't we like an earthworm trying to do press-ups, like a potato trying to swim? We're not trusting God. We're not relying on him. And we've got words here to acknowledge that. In the book of Romans, that Abraham was justified by faith. And we read about that a couple of weeks ago in Genesis chapter 15. Abraham trusted in God. And in this moment, it looks like he's totally failed to do that. God is amazing. Because if our first part of this story tells us that even real believers can make terrible mistakes. Mistakes is an understatement, isn't it? Can commit terrible sins, can totally fail to trust God's promises. Well, the second part of our story tells us that God is greater even than our greatest mistakes. So Abimelech and Sarah and Abraham, do you guys want to come back up? There we go. Right, now, remember the problem we've got. Sarah is in Abimelech's house. She is not married to Abimelech. She is married to Abraham. But Abimelech thinks she is. And it's not obvious how we can get out of this. If Abraham goes to Abimelech and says, "Can I have Sarah back?" He's going to say, "Why? Why should I? Go away before I kill you." There's no way out of it except if God himself intervenes. Now, if you're a reader and you want to follow it in the Bible, it's on page 20 in the Bibles, and it's we're going to pick it up at verse 3. God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him... Sorry, went the wrong way. Let's try that again. "You are a dead man." You don't normally begin conversations like that, do you? But that's what God said. "You're as good as dead because of the woman you've taken. She's a married woman." Now, Abimelech had not gone near her, so he said, "Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, 'She's my sister'? And didn't she also say, 'He's my brother'? I've done this with a clear conscience and clean hands." And then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know." God knows. God knows what's gone on here. And he says, I've kept you from sinning against me. That's why I didn't let you touch her. Now return the man's wife, for he's a prophet. He'll pray for you and you'll live. But if you don't return her, you may be sure that you and all yours will die." It's a pretty scary dream, isn't it? And he wakes up the next morning, dripping in sweat. Verse 8, Abimelech summoned all his officials, and when he told them all that had happened, they were very much afraid. I'm not surprised. Then Abimelech called Abraham in and said, "What have you done to us? How have I wronged you that you've brought such great guilt upon me and my kingdom? You've done things to me that should not be done." And Abimelech asked, "Why have you done this?" Anyway, now good news is he's going to send Sarah back to Abraham. And his story has got a happy ending. We're done. This is excellent news for Abraham and Sarah. Christmas, and it's good news for us too, isn't it? Christmas is back on. Easter is back on. And so is the open door to heaven for everyone who trusts in Jesus. And Abimelech brought sheep and cattle and male and female slaves and gave them to Abraham. He returned Sarah, his wife, to them. And Abimelech said, "My land's before you. Live wherever you like." To Sarah, he said, "I'm giving your brother..." That's dripping with irony, isn't it? "Giving your brother 1,000 shekels of silver to cover the offense against you before all who are with you, you're completely vindicated." Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his slave girls so they could have children again. So part of what's been going on is that Abimelech and everyone else in his family is not able to make babies, let the reader understand, for an all-age service. But Abraham prays, and Abimelech is restored, and for the Lord had closed up every womb in Abimelech's household because of Abraham's wife Sarah. What a relief. Abimelech looks very relieved. Abraham and Sarah look very relieved. Let's give them a round of applause. And guys, do you want to have a seat? Thank you so much. Arlo also ought to be looking very relieved because he was the next on the list to be Abimelech if Stephen said no. See, God has stepped in personally. And as we, someone said when we were talking about this as an all-age team the other week, God is a much better husband to Sarah than Abraham was, isn't he? Abraham was meant to be protecting Sarah, laying down his own life to protect her. Instead, he's asking her to go into danger to protect him. What do we do with this strange story, though? It feels like not much has changed by the end of it. We're relieved, but what do we do with it? Well, there's a few applications. I think one is we need to see how committed God is to working out his amazing plan of salvation. Nothing is going to derail that. Let me give three other applications that I think make a real difference day to day as we look to live for Jesus. Okay. I don't know how many of us use emoticons on our phones. I'm quite proud of myself that I found out where the emoticons button is. I still haven't worked out really how to use them, but I know where it is. This is my our best attempt to come up with a kind of unsurprised face. Okay, maybe you could have a go at doing it. This is my "I told you so" face. This is my I was expecting that. This is the face that says, this is not a surprise to me. Do you think it looks like that? Okay, well, yeah, close enough. The point is, we should be really unsurprised when Christians make terrible mistakes. Real believers get things terribly wrong. Boys and girls, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when your parents tell you off and get really angry for something you haven't done. Don't be surprised if you get married and you discover that your spouse is almost as sinful as you are. Don't be surprised if you're a member of the church and you see your pastor being incredibly rude to his wife or yelling at his kids. I'm not saying this in any way to minimize sin. Sin is terrible. It's awful. We've got to fight against it. I'm just saying don't be surprised by it. And don't be surprised when you find it in yourself, when you realize the depths of which you are capable of. I am constantly surprised by the depths of sin that I am capable of, and I shouldn't be. Because if Abraham is like this, Abraham, one of the greatest men in the Bible, one of the greatest men in history, God's special friend, makes mistakes on this scale, what hope is there for the rest of us? Abraham is like a picture of every Christian, every believer, trusting God and making mistakes constantly. But actually, if we want to see what the perfect believer ought to look like, we need to look at the Lord Jesus. The rest of us need to go through life not being surprised at our sin, not being surprised when non-Christians like Abimelech seem to act much better than believers like like Abraham. So don't be surprised. That's the first application. Second application. Be amazed. Does that look like a surprised face? Yeah, okay, that looks a little bit more surprised, doesn't it? Be surprised. Be astonished. Be amazed at the incredible love of God. Be astonished at the love of God. Because he is so committed to being friends with us that his friendship is not like that china cup that is so easily broken. His friendship is not like this cup. His friendship is like this iron bar. I have more chance of snapping this bar in two than I do of breaking God's covenant promises. See, if we are trusting in him, he is committed to bringing us safely through life to his heavenly kingdom as his friend. So I don't know how you feel reading this story. I read it, and I want to scream out to God, this is not okay. How can you be so quick to rescue Abraham? He's barely even repented. Look at what a mess he's made of things. Look at the danger and the harm he's caused to other people. And do you know who else is saying that this morning? Isn't the devil shouting exactly the same thing at God? Saying, look at Simon Tompkins, God. How can you be so quick to forgive him? Look at the mess he makes of things. Look at the harm he does to other people. How can you be so quick to forgive him? How can you be so quick to forgive Paul and Chris and Sharia? How can you be so quick to come to their rescue when they've done the terrible things they've done? And the answer comes back, it's grace. Sheer, undeserved grace. And my final application this morning, boys and girls and grown-ups, this is the one we need to carry away for the rest of our lives and remember this one. If we want to change,
if we are finding ourselves stuck in a pattern of sin that we can't break, we're making the same mistakes again and again and again. Beating ourselves up won't work. Telling God, I'll never make that mistake again, won't work. It doesn't work. He knows that's not true. We know it's not true. What do we need to see? We need to see that God has got us so securely. His love holds us so tight that even our sin cannot separate us from his love. Do you know what? When we see that, doesn't that melt and change our hearts? Then we want to change. Doesn't that give us the power to start turning away from sin? Slowly. It's such a slow, painful process, but it happens as we let go of those things that we want to cling on to and trust in the Lord God who loves us and holds on to us. Amen.